Our Father in heaven is too wise to make a mistake, and he loves us too much to harm us. There are times when we think that God may be making a mistake, but those times are times of testing and times of growing. Abraham had such a time, didn't he? Hebrews chapter 11, verses 17 through 19. Here we have the fourth aspect of Abraham's faithful obedience. You recall that Abraham obeyed God by faith when he did not know where he was going. Hebrews 11, 8 through 10. He obeyed God by faith when he did not know how it was going to be accomplished. Verses 11 and 12. And he obeyed God by faith when he did not understand when God would fulfill the promise. Verses 13 through 16. And now 17 through 19. The hardest test of all, the hardest obedience of all, Abraham obeyed God by faith when he did not understand why. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, "In Isaac shall thy seed be called," accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which also he received him in a figure or in a type. God came to Abraham and said, "Abraham, Abraham," and Abraham said, "Here am I." And God said, "Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and offer him for a burnt offering in the place that I'm going to show you." And the Word of God tells us in Genesis 22 that early the next morning, Abraham arose and he got the animals, and he got his son, he got the wood, and he started on that three-day journey out to the place that God was going to show him. And when he got there, he told the young men who were with him, he said, "Now you stay here, and the lad and I are going to go and worship." That's an interesting word. "We're going to go and worship, and we will return to you." And they did. They went, and Abraham built the altar. He put his son on the altar, and remember, Isaac was not a little boy. He was a young man. Isaac willingly obeyed his father. "I'm the father of two sons and two daughters, and I can just imagine how I would feel putting my own son or my own daughter there on the altar." You see, everything that Abraham had was all wrapped up in Isaac. Isaac was his heir. Isaac was the child of promise. It was through Isaac that the Messiah was ultimately going to come. Isaac would give birth to Jacob, and Jacob to the 12 tribes of Israel, and from the tribe of Judah, the family of David, would come the Messiah. And so everything in Abraham's future, everything in Israel's future, and by the way, everything in your future, if you're a Christian, rested upon Isaac there on the altar. And yet Abraham obeyed God when he did not understand why. I think that this is the highest test we can possibly have. That test of by faith, just doing what God tells us to do, even though there is no explanation. I have said many times as we have been studying that faith does not live on explanations. Faith lives on promises. A famous Christian once said that at the beginning of the Christian life, our biggest problem is with our neighbor. We can't understand why our neighbor is not as good as we are. Then as we mature in the Christian life, our biggest problem becomes ourself. We realize we are the problem. But then as we get deeper into the heart of God and deeper into the things of the Lord, our biggest problem becomes God. We wonder, why is God doing what he's doing? And God has to bring us to the place where we simply obey him by faith, even when we do not understand why. You see, true faith is always tested. A faith that can't be tested can't be trusted. And all through Abraham's life, he went through tests. The God of glory appeared to Abraham when Abraham was an idolater in Ur of the Chaldees. And God said, "Get out. Get out from your kindred. Get out from your land. Leave home. Sell your business, away we go, we're going to the promised land." And the first test he had was the test of trusting God for the future, trusting God when Abraham said goodbye to his friends and took some of his relatives along, and then when they were finally gone, God began to do something deep with Abraham. Well, Abraham got to the promised land, and you would have thought that God would have welcomed Abraham with a great feast and plenty. Oh, no. When he got to Canaan land, he discovered a famine in the land. Now, a famine would be a dangerous thing for a man like Abraham because he had flocks and herds, and they can't eat dried up grass. They have to have the pasturage. And so he was tested now by circumstances. First, he was tested by people. You have to say goodbye to father and brother and all these folks who are near and dear to you. Then he was tested by finances, by the circumstances around him. And he made a mistake, didn't he? He went down to Egypt and tried to get help from the world. And then Abraham was tested by Lot. Oh, what a problem Lot was to Abraham. And finally, Lot gets off the scene, and Abraham was then tested by his own wife. She said, why don't you have a son? By Hagar, my Egyptian maid, and that created such a problem in their home. Then Isaac was given. Isaac, the son of promise, was given. What joy he brought. The name Isaac means laughter. He brought such joy to their hearts. Here's this old man and this old woman who have a son, and what a joy to watch him grow up and develop and learn about God. And I wonder how many times Abraham and Isaac and Sarah would meet at the altar, and they would fellowship together. And then God says, I want your son on the altar. Isaac has stood there at the altar many times with you, Abraham, offering burnt offerings, but now I want him on the altar as a burnt offering. Now, he's your son. There's tie number one. He's your only son. That's tie number two. What about Ishmael? No, he doesn't count. God gave Ishmael some blessings, some material and governmental blessings, but he wasn't a part of the covenant. Isaac, your son, your only son, whom you love. Ah, there's the third tie. Isaac, which means laughter, the joy of your heart. Here are four strong ties between this father and his son. And now those ties are going to be broken. Faith is always tested. And faith is tested more and more as we grow in the Lord. Oh, I fear for these Christians who say, well, I've been a Christian for 20 years. You know, I can take anything. Oh, don't talk like that. You're just speaking off the top of your head, my friend. We go through deeper testings the closer we get to the Lord. Because, you see, God tests our faith to prove its reality. James chapter 1 says that, verses 2, 3, and 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing this, that the testing of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. God strengthens our faith, and he proves the reality of our faith through testing. When faith is not real and faith is counterfeit, then the trial proves it. Of course, God knows our hearts from the very beginning. We don't know our own hearts. Peter tells us that when we go through testing, it brings glory to God today and in the future. 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7. In this ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold trials, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. We don't always see the results of our suffering now, but we will when Jesus comes. So true faith is always tested, because it proves the reality of our faith when we go through tests. It strengthens our faith and creates patience, and patience is so important, and it glorifies the Lord. And Abraham faced one test after another, but this was his greatest test. Which leads me to encourage you with this statement. God always prepares us for the tests. God always tests his own. That's a mark that you're really born again and that you're growing. But God always prepares us for the tests. God did not ask Abraham to give Isaac on the altar when Isaac was a little lad. No, no. He asked for Isaac after Abraham had been through many different trials that prepared him. The trying of our faith worketh patience, and that patience encourages us in the next trial. You see, what God is doing is perfecting his own. He's maturing us. I'm not an athlete, but an athletic illustration would not be out of place here. In the Greek world, back in the New Testament days, every boy, when he was 7 years of age, was enrolled at the gymnasium. Every area had its gymnasium. And when the boy was seven, he was enrolled, and there he went through certain training, exercises and running and sports and so forth, because the Greeks believed in having a strong mind and a strong body, a healthy mind and a healthy body. And I can imagine some of these lads saying, oh, this is awfully hard, I can't lift this weight, or I can't run that distance. But every time they did a little better, it prepared them for the next. And so it is with life. You and I are in the race of life. We are on the racetrack, running to please the Lord Jesus Christ. And God gives us a new trial, a new weight to carry, a new battle to fight, and each one prepares for the next. So faith is always tested, but God prepares us for each test. And this is the way we grow. The only way to escape tests is to remain a little baby. We protect babies. Nobody would ever think of making a little child go through serious tests, but we protect them. But in the Christian life, the only way the children mature and become sons and daughters who are mature and strong is through going through tests. And so God always tests us and prepares us for each test. Now, the most difficult tests of all seem the most unreasonable. How unreasonable to take Isaac. I would have asked for Ishmael. You see, we put our worst on the altar, but God wants the best. Ishmael was a big mistake. God doesn't want our mistakes on the altar. Isaac was the child of promise. Abraham was being tested by that which was the best. Now, Lot wasn't tested this way. God never asked Lot for anything like this. You know why? Lot wasn't at that level of life. Lot was tempted by Sodom. Abraham was never tempted by Sodom. The lust and filth and foolishness of Sodom never bothered Abraham. Abraham was such a mature Christian, such a mature believer, that it took something very special to test him and to help him grow. When God tests us, he doesn't ask for the bad things. He asks for the good things. In my own Christian life, many times God has said, now, I want this. But, Lord, that's a good thing. No, I want you to give it to me now. Just hand it over, because God wants to do something even better for us. The most difficult tests always seem unreasonable. How unreasonable to ask a father to give his son, his only son. How unreasonable to ask a father to give the boy who was the very focal point for the future. God gave Isaac to Abraham, and then God asked for him back. Reminds us of the words of Job, doesn't it? The Lord gave, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And yet Abraham was able to go through this trial. I don't read that he asked any questions. He just instantly obeyed. Job had some problems with God. Why hast thou set me as a mark against thee so that I am a burden to myself? Job 7:20. The psalmist had some problems with what God was doing. Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? Psalm 10:1. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Psalm 42:9. Jeremiah had some problems with God, didn't he? Why is my pain perpetual and my wound incurable, which refuseth to be healed? Wilt thou be altogether unto me like a liar and like waters that fail? God, you're failing me, wrote Jeremiah in chapter 15 and verse 18. But Abraham didn't talk like that. He instantly obeyed, and he went and built the altar, and Isaac willingly got on the altar. How was Abraham able to do this? Well, verse 19 tells us he believed, esteeming, same word used in verse 26, translated esteeming. Esteeming, accounting, believing, reckoning that God was able. Oh, there's the difference. I'm not able, but God is able. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. God is asking you to give him some good thing. Not a bad thing, a good thing. You say, I'm not able, but God is able. Turn it over to him. God is able to raise him up even from the dead. Now, what did Abraham know about the resurrection of the dead? We have no record anywhere in Genesis that anybody had ever been raised from the dead, except for two people, Abraham and Sarah. In Romans 4, we're told that their bodies were as good as dead, And then the power of God went to work in their bodies and raised them, as it were, from the dead, and they were able to have this son, Isaac. And so I can just see Abraham as he says, you know, God raised me from the dead. He is able to raise my son from the dead. Well, God did something even greater than that. God stopped Abraham. Just as Abraham was about to plunge the knife into his son's body, God stopped him. Abraham, Abraham, don't kill your son. And Abraham turned around, and there was a ram, and the ram died in the place of Isaac. All of this, of course, is a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ was obedient to his Father. He was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Nobody substituted for the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for you. He died for me. He died willingly. But all of this is a picture to us as well of what God can do in the times of trial. What do I need in times of trial? Resurrection power. And that resurrection power is available to me when I come to the throne of grace. You see, Abraham believed the word of God. In Isaac shall thy seed be called. All right, Lord, if my family is going to come through Isaac, then Isaac can't die. He's going to have to be raised from the dead. So Abraham believed the word of God, and God responded to that faith. You see, that's what faith really is. Faith is not believing in spite of evidence. Faith is obeying in spite of consequence and circumstance. And this obedience brought blessing. Abraham named that place Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will see to it. The Lord will take care of it. I don't know what your problem is right now, but I want you to know this. The Lord will see to it. He can give you resurrection power, and he will see you through. You may have to give up that which is nearest and dearest. Don't worry about it. God will give you resurrection power, and he'll work out his blessing. May the Lord help us to have the kind of faith Abraham had, that we might believe God and obey him when we don't understand where, we don't understand how, we don't understand when, and we don't understand why. This is the kind of faith that God honors, and this is the kind of faith that brings great glory to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.